Our scripture reading today is from John 10, 1 through 18. John 10, 1 through 18. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Good morning. My name is Jonah Brenner, and I have the privilege of working on staff here as the student ministry director. This morning, we're going to be looking at John 10 and shepherding, and more importantly, who Jesus is as our good shepherd. But before we get to that, which is undoubtedly more important, I need to tell you about one of my favorite YouTube clips. Don't run out. No worries. I know he's starting with YouTube. But there's this clip out there of this sheep. He's stuck in a probably 1 foot wide, 4 foot deep trench. And he's headfirst with his legs scurrying back and forth, unable to get himself out. He's just stuck there. And this caring shepherd comes along and grabs him by the hind legs and pulls him out and sets him back up on the ground. This sheep is ecstatic, and he starts prancing around, and he's skipping, and he runs on one side of the ditch, and he goes to jump across, and he runs and jumps and dives right back into the trench that he was stuck in. It's hilarious. It's a little bit sad, too, and we're talking about it because we, as people and members of God's church, as people who are interested in what Jesus has to say for our lives, are most commonly referred to as his sheep. Being a sheep of the good shepherd, it's one of the most common biblical images for our relationship between us and Jesus. And it's one that we're going to be looking at today. We see it introduced here in John 10 in what is an extended metaphor. Jesus is having a long dialogue with people. Previously, what just happened is that there's a blind man that he gave sight back to, and the Jewish council of leaders are not so happy about it. They're upset with him, and he turns and begins speaking to them, talking to them about what leadership and care for his people really mean. We've been in a series called Engaging with Jesus. There's a lot of ways to engage with Jesus, and I think this is one of the most important. We as his sheep, and he as our shepherd. What we need to know, what we need to remember, is who Jesus really is to us. He's not a domineering master. He's not someone waiting for you to mess up so he can come at you with guilt and shame and condemnation. He's a good shepherd who came to bring life to his people and life abundantly. And we're going to see more of that this morning. As we turn to the opening of this passage, we see that Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who does not enter through the main door, but enters the sheep gate, the pen where they are taken care of by another way, who steals in access to the fold, that is no shepherd." The pen, the dwelling place of the sheep. We're talking about your stock analogy for the living space for sheep. I know we're in Southern California. It is 2023, and I would be surprised if someone were to shoot their hand up and say, "I know exactly what it's like to live with sheep and walk with sheep." But maybe you've been on a farm. Maybe you've been around other animals, or maybe you just remember your picture books as a kid, and you know that typically animals and pastures need enclosures to be taken care of. They need a place to dwell. They need a place to live where they don't run to the four corners of the world, but rather they have a space where they can dwell, where they can abide. And these sheep are no different. They have a place of rest. Yet in what our understanding grows into, this isn't just a pen for sheep. This is the dwelling place for God's people that's being discussed here. We're going to get to that more, but what we need to see when we're first introduced to this faux shepherd and a real shepherd is that access matters. The way access into this fold happens is pretty important. You don't get to steal your way into the flock. You don't get to come in with intention of personal gain or violence. To be a thief, to take just because you want it, to be a bandit, to cause harm and violence just because it's what fits your agenda, that has no place here in God's sheepfold. No, the one who enters through the door is the true shepherd of the sheep. For him, the doorkeeper opens up, the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls each sheep by their name, and he leads them out. Wherever he leads his own out, he goes before them, and he follows after them, and they follow after him because they know the shepherd's voice. We see a picture of what shepherding looks like in Jesus' time as Jesus is explaining this to other people. And again, we might not be the most familiar with it, but Jesus takes time to explain that to us. We're talking about a shepherd who is one that doesn't need to hide, whose presence brings peace and abates anxiousness. This is a shepherd greeted gleefully by sheep who bleat upon smelling and hearing their shepherd. These are sheep that have had time with the shepherd, that have known their shepherd, that have had experience with their shepherd and trust him. They follow him, they know his leadership, and they look to it. And this is the relationship we are to have with our shepherd, our true shepherd, our good shepherd. None of this, "I intend to harm you, so let me at it," nonsense. No, the true shepherd is known. Fellow workers recognize him, and they look to him and they say, "This is one who should be with sheep." That is Jesus. You don't just get access to the sheep. It's won and shown over time because they know his voice. If you have to steal it to get it, you aren't qualified to keep it, to keep leadership, to keep presence in the fold. You don't get to barge your way in to where God has made a dwelling place. You get to come in one way, the way God has decided. You don't come in for violence. You're not allowed to. You know the sound of the shepherd's voice. You know it today because of the Holy Spirit, because he bears witness to your spirit that you are a child of God, and you hear God's voice, and you trust him, and you follow after him because he's the good shepherd. Shepherding is really important. Dr. Tim Laniak, he's a professor, he's a former president, I believe, at Gordon-Conwell Seminary, and he, for a number of years, way back when, lived with Bedouin shepherds in the Middle East. He was curious. He had been teaching the biblical languages and scripture to students for so many long that he was curious, what does shepherding and living with sheep actually look like? What's it actually take? And he found that they are some of the hardest working individuals you would ever come across, and they love their sheep dearly. There's so many things that a shepherd is responsible for, at least in today's world, and yet the three that Dr. Laniak reminds and cautions us to remember is that shepherds are to protect, they are to provide, and they are to guide their sheep. They protect them from harm. They make certain that threats don't get a hold of their sheep. They provide for them and give them a place of rest, a food to eat, and they guide them. They guide them to safe dwellings, safe places, safe spots where they can dwell and rest. That is the mark of a good shepherd. Yet why on earth are we concerned with what a good shepherd looks like? Because we probably know too many bad shepherds. We've probably met a couple, and if that's the case, I'm sorry. Yet Jesus reminds his people, he says, after the voice of another person, they will not follow, but they'll flee from him because they don't know and they have not known this other voice that speaks into their life, that says things that are attractive but not true. That voice, the sheep know not to listen to because that voice has not proven themselves reliable. And we live in a world where there's going to be so many voices that blare for your attention, that say, listen to me, I have good words. I promise you, I'm not leading you to a false sense of rest. I'm leading you to true rest. I swear, right? And yet time and time again, we see that people lead to the wrong thing. Jesus wants his people to know, no. You need to understand what good shepherding looks like. You need to know what bad shepherding looks like because you need to be looking for the good shepherd, not someone who would abuse sheep. You're here. Something brought you here this morning. Maybe it's obligation. Maybe it's duty. If that's the case, I'd love to chat with you about how we can change that to where it's a sense of joy. Maybe you're here because a friend brought you, but maybe you're here because you're curious about what's true, because you want to know the truth, because you have this yearning for something that is more, and you're waiting for what that might be. I can tell you that part of you that wants to know, that part of you, maybe you're a Christian, that hears certain preachers, that hears certain teachers, reads a certain book, has a friend speak into your life in such a way that you say, I want more of that. That has to be true. That points me to God. If that's what brought you here today, it's because God is faithful to his sheep, and he leads them there to places of rest. He leads them to a place where they can stop worrying, where they can dwell, where they can live and abide. Yet Jesus' disciples and the people in the room didn't understand what he was saying. They didn't understand, and maybe you don't either, but Porky Pig isn't here yet, and that's not all, folks, because Jesus continues. He says, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me were thieves and bandits, but the sheep didn't listen to them. Reminder, Jesus is speaking most recently to a group of people in the Sanhedrin who've demonstrated themselves as poor leaders. Our backdrop? Bad leaders and bad shepherds who have not cared for the flock. And Jesus says in what is his third of seven I am statements, I am the door to the sheep. It is through him that you get access. It is through him that you get rest. It is only through him where you find a true dwelling. Jesus is the one to whom and through whom his people find safety. This is also in slight reference to Ezekiel 34. We can't look at the whole chapter this morning, but you need to know it is a scathing critique of neglectful, spiteful, malicious shepherds who take food and fatten themselves and leave their sheep to be hungry. And Jesus says, no, because you don't get to treat his sheep that way. God wouldn't let these bandits and thieves host his sheep forever. He had a better pasture for his sheep. He had a better place for Abraham's kids than the desert, a better home for Moses than the wilderness, a better kingdom than Israel for David. He didn't leave his people to be left under the boot of Babylon, to waste away under a foreign power. And he won't abandon you to the plight of a modern world where emptiness and dissatisfaction reign in life, where the best of days are veiled in tears this side of the fall. He won't abandon his people to abusive shepherds, nor to open and wild pastures, because he has a track record and he proves it, because he is the door. And through him, if anyone may enter, they will be saved. They will enter, and they will go out, and they will find pasture. God's people will find rest, and they will find freedom from sin. They'll find life, not maybe, not I hope so, not I'm really kind of banking on it. It will come to pass. God provides. God provides a pasture with dwelling opportunity, with sustenance, a place where you're satisfied. I don't know what your weeks looked like. I don't know what your life has looked like. But you're a human, and I'd imagine that you find yourself discontent. Discontent with what's on offer, discontent with what you see, discontent with what you don't have, discontent with what you do have. You're not rested. Unless you come to him, unless you sit with him, unless you go to this Savior who gives you rest. The thief only comes for the purpose that he might steal and slaughter and destroy. But Jesus has come in order that his sheep might have life and have it abundantly. Not death, not defeat, not desertion, life. In him. That's a good person to go to. Look at that. To find rest. Jesus came to bring life. He did. He is the good shepherd. We find rest because he is, and he is the good shepherd because he brings rest, because he shows himself that he is a reliable shepherd that we can look to and say, that's my shepherd. That's who I want to follow. What's more, Jesus doubles down, and he turns to say, I am the good shepherd. He's not just the one who you go through. He is the one who leads you. He is the one who guides you. He is the one who protects you, who provides for you, who leads you near still waters and pastures of rest. He takes you there. And Jesus makes certain that you understand. The one who's a hired hand and not a shepherd, the under lackey, the underling who comes along and works, who does not own the sheep, when he sees the wolf come, he flees. He runs, he hides, he goes away, and he abandons the sheep. And the wolf comes, and he drags the sheep away. He drags them away and scatters them. Jesus brings his fourth I am statement, and he says, I am the good shepherd. And he explains it. We've seen shepherds in the Bible before. Maybe you're familiar with David. David, who's the runt of his family, who was out in the field when people were looking for a king protecting sheep, who was fending off lions and bears, and in the Bible he's known as one of the best shepherds. And yet Jesus comes along as a better shepherd because he shows himself to be a better shepherd. Because we have seen leaders who abandon the church, maybe they abandon their family, maybe they abandon their faith when things get difficult, when it's too hard, when it's an obligation merely anchored by a fiscal reality, you're gonna run away when it gets too hard. But when it's motivated by love, when you care for the sheep, when you love who you're caring for, you're willing to put up with the wolf. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Do you want a shepherd obligated by money or love? I don't want someone just motivated by money. I don't want someone who just looks after me because they have to, because they're paid to. Do you? Is it just because you tithe? That's why you come to Jesus, just because you feel obligated to? Or do you come because only with him you find rest? Only with him can you find peace. These shepherds, they weren't fiscally responsible to pay for the lost sheep. It's not worth it to them to pay back once a wolf comes. Why would you pay for your life when someone else could do it? Why would you care about sheep that they're just animals? They're less than me. When the wolf comes, I don't care. Frankly, I think we today, you can't really blame a hired hand to put your life on the line for some lambs. I think being human is a little bit more valuable than some sheep. And yet, Jesus is using this picture for a reason, because he needs us to understand that he's God, and yet he has come down as the shepherd who doesn't just abandon his people when things get difficult, but who steps nearer to protect his people because he loves them, not because he's fiscally obligated. Jesus doesn't need your money. It's already his. He owns everything. He came to save you because you're his sheep and he cares for you. He's not a hired hand. When the wolf comes, it's sobering, but we need to come to terms with it. As sheep, the people who are identified as sheep in the Bible, we are at threat. The sheep without a shepherd are awaiting victims. The sheep get scattered, just like the apostles were scattered in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the Romans came and the threat fell, they ran to the four corners of the wind because they're foolish people. Because we are foolish sheep. Because we run to things that we shouldn't. Because when we are afraid and we're chased by a wolf due to a negligent shepherd, yeah, we're sufferers, we're victims, and we're fools, and we run to things that we shouldn't. Without the presence, we have to ask, without the presence of a shepherd, what do you run to? When you're afraid, when you're not safe, when you fear for provision, when you fear that you're not going to be taken care of, that things aren't going to turn out your way, where do you run away from the threat, and what do you run to? Is it a little bit of retail therapy and a bunch of Amazon packages showing up on your doorstep? Is it voyeurism? Is it alcohol? Is it greed? I have more money, therefore I'm okay, and I don't have to be afraid. What is it? I've got so many, and I know you do too. And we can be honest about it, because we're sheep, and we're afraid of things. And there are so many wolves out there that want to steal you away from God's flock. And yet he's the good shepherd, and he has come, because the wolf doesn't get the last word. Because the hired hand doesn't care about them, he abandons them. But Jesus is the good shepherd, and he knows his own sheep, and his own sheep know him. He upholds the shepherding baseline. He leads them out. They follow him because they know the sound of his voice, because he's proven his track record, because he's shown that he is a reliable shepherd that people can look to, and they say, that is my shepherd. Whenever he leads his own out, he goes before them. There's a couple ways you can handle sheep. You can go in front of them and trust them to follow your voice, or you can go behind them and chase them with dogs. And you'll notice what Jesus does. He's not hounding his people, he's leading them. They follow after his voice. He doesn't have to use a threat of a dog nipping. His voice enough to entice them to follow. Because Jesus has the words of life. You get to go to him, so go to him. And when you go to him, know that just as the Father knows Jesus, and just as Jesus knows the Father, we come to know him. That's one of the most profound things to me. You're talking about the Trinity that is present before all creation, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit enjoying one another's presence before the foundation of the world, knowing each other, a God who is all-knowing, who knows himself and rejoices and says, I want people to know me this way, and I want to know them this way. And Jesus says, I'm going to know my sheep this way, and my sheep are going to know me this way. And he won't settle until that comes to pass. He won't rest until his sheep find rest in him. He won't leave his sheep to be slaughtered by a wolf. He will lead them to be united to him. Jesus has other sheep, not from this pen, and it is necessary that he must bring them also. They will listen to his voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. This is most basically Jesus telling a bunch of Jewish people in the Sanhedrin, I'm not stopping until people throughout the world are gathered unto me to be a part of my flock. That's why we're here today, is because Jesus' shepherd says, I want you and my family. He says, I want you to come into my fold. It's a picture of what's to come, where we get to walk with our shepherd in the new heavens and the new earth, in the cool of the day with our good shepherd. And it's for this reason that the Father loves Jesus, because he lays down his life in order that he might take it up again. And I think this might come as a strange statement when Jesus says, no one takes it away from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. That love for Jesus is anchored in what he does might seem strange to us, but it's true. Jesus loves the Father, and the Father loves him because of what he's done. Jesus has the authority to lay his life down, and he has the authority to take it up again. It's his choice, and he chooses to do it. He, as the shepherd, doesn't need to lay his life down for his sheep. He chose to. He said, yes, I will. In a garden with a cup of suffering waiting for him, he says, yeah, I'll do it. This is the commandment he received from his Father. This is God's beloved Son, in whom he's well pleased, of whom he is so proud. This is Jesus, who is loved by the Father, who comes to bring light and life to his people. This is the Son who toiled long and hard to purchase back his sheep. This is the shepherd who left his flock of 99 to go and chase down his lost one. This is the Son who obeys the request of the Father, who goes to lay down his life on the cross, who is robbed and slaughtered. This is the shepherd who had authority to lay his life down and to take it back up, who chose to lay it down to be slaughtered like a lamb. Pure, spotless, innocent. Some may even say unnecessary. The shepherd didn't have to do it, but he did. Because he's the good shepherd. Because he loves sheep. Jesus isn't motivated by a sense of guilt to bear a burden for you. He's motivated by a profound love for you. It's not just some passive, I guess I care about them. It is what he came to do. He doesn't die to add guilt. He died to take away the burden. He died because he really, really likes his sheep. The good shepherd became the spotless lamb. The lamb who was traded for the sheep. Who, because he was traded for the sheep, brought life for those sheep. Brought hope for those sheep. And that's for you today. We might be foolish sheep. We might dive into a trench. We might run back to the same thing over and over and over again. And yet we have a shepherd who will not abandon you, a shepherd who will not leave you, who will not forsake you, who says, I know my own, and my own know me. I know them by name, and I call them. So please, I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know what you know about him, but come to this shepherd, come through this gate, and in him find rest, find life and life abundant. Would you please pray with me? our Father who art in heaven. You are a good and holy Father, and you sent your Son, a Son who didn't need to come, but who joyfully did because he loves his sheep, who came to live and die to protect his sheep because he loves them, to save them from the wolf at their door, whatever it might be. Maybe it's sickness, maybe it's illness, maybe it's dread, it's depression, maybe it's addiction. Maybe, Lord, it's been abuse, but you have come because you care about the sheep. You will not let them run to destruction. You step in and you say, no, I will go. I will face the threat. I will face the judgment. I will become the lamb who dies on the altar, that all sheep who come to me might live. Lord, this is your Son. We see him and we know him and we want to know more. We pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would make this truth clear to us, that you would tuck it into our hearts, that wherever we walk, wherever we go, it might be towards you, towards a place of rest, following your voice as the sheep of your pasture, Lord. We pray that these things might be true, that they might be true for us, that we might sit and dwell and rest in your presence all the days of our lives. I pray that for these people. I pray that for those beyond. And I pray that people might come to know you as the good shepherd. All these things and more I pray in your name.